Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Niknaz Aftahi, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. This is going to be so much fun. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Let me introduce you to our audience. Niknaz is the CEO and co-founder of AEC Plus Tech, an all-in-one innovation platform and community connecting architecture, engineering, construction, and operations professionals with the latest tools and technologies. You can learn more about it at aecplustech.com, all spelled out, one word, aecplustech.com. And prior to launching AEC Plus Tech, Niknaz practiced architecture in the Bay Area in California, both as a design professional as well as a design technologist. Niknaz is a member of the AIA, San Francisco Design Technology Committee, and has also been developing curriculum and teaching architecture courses online to Baha'i students in Iran who continue to be deprived of access to universities in their own country. I'm fascinated to hear a little bit about that as well. I think that'll be interesting. Sure. Niknaz, I would love to hear your origin story. You know, where did this all start? When did you discover your passion for architecture, and what or who actually inspired you to do what you're doing today?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, Mark. So my story is that I'm trained as an architect. I received my Bachelor of Architecture in Iran at the BIHE. BIHE stands for Baha'i Institute for Higher Education. So as a Baha'i, I couldn't go to university in Iran. And the BIHE is an informal university that has no permanent building or space. And I studied there. Then I came to the US and completed a Master of Architecture at UC Berkeley. So for my thesis at Berkeley, I worked with a computer scientist and developed a computational system for offering the most optimal, you know, public spaces in Tehran. It was a pretty interesting project. And then that's when I really became interested in the potential applications of technology in design and how technology can help us as designers design better spaces and better buildings. After school, I worked as a designer at a couple of architecture firms in the Bay Area. And for 5 years, I worked at ELS architecture firm, architecture and urban design firm in Berkeley. It's a medium-sized design firm. And that's when I started to think more and more about tools and software and solutions that can improve our daily workflow. Because, you know, working as an architect on a daily basis, there were times and moments that I would get frustrated by how slow we are working at design. I mean, the slow pace of traditional design and procurement workflows, you know, like the repetitive tasks you do when you are putting together a design development set or a construction document set or construction of DDC, DCA, construction administration. Sometimes you repeat the same thing over and over and over. And I felt like many times my brain was just shut off unless I was involved with like the conceptual phase. The conceptual design phase, like designing something, actively designing something. But other than that, there were times that I would just get bored. And then at ELS, the principals of our office were very open to learn about new tools and technologies. And they let me start a design technology committee. And we were focused on computational design, you know, sustainability, visualization, and rendering. And the committee kept growing, and we worked on many initiatives in the office, you know, like we were going to events and conferences, we were finding new tools. And running that group of, you know, that committee, that group inspired me to focus on what I'm doing today. Because, you know, through that research I was doing for the office, I realized that so much innovation is happening out there in the built tech world. But unfortunately, most of it is still just unknown to the mainstream offices, you know, to small and medium sized offices, to the industry. So I became really interested in this innovation and introducing them to the office.
Yeah, that's such an interesting story. I want to go back to the very beginning of that story. When you were in Iran and when did you decide that you wanted to be an architect? Do you remember the moment when the idea of an architect and architecture was introduced to you? And do you remember who introduced you to what architecture was?
Yeah, that was actually, it's interesting. It was pretty late in my studies because so as a Baha'i child in Iran, you know that when the time comes for you to go to university, you don't have many options because you're not allowed to enter like a national university. So my only option was BIHT, the Baha'i Institute, and BIHT doesn't have many majors. And at the time it didn't have architecture when I entered university. So I studied a software engineering for 2 years, but I knew that I liked it. You know, I still love programming and coding and all that, but I knew that I was really good in painting. I had this like artistic, part of me that was always into like being more creative. And then, after 2 years that I studied software engineering, then suddenly BIHT, there were some professors that decided to start the architecture major.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was so lucky to be amongst the first group of architecture students. It was just 8 of us. That's basically when it was like, maybe I was like, I don't know, 21 or 22. It was pretty late in my studies that I decided to pursue architecture.
Yeah. So were your parents creative?
They are, you know, they both are artists. My dad is also an engineer, but they both are pretty talented in terms of their artistic talents. You know, my mom is a professional singer, you know, my dad is a really good painter. He's a really good carpenter. He's also a civil engineer.
Yeah.
But they
interesting. Well, now you can see where it all came from, right? So you have the creative side from your mom and your dad, engineer, but also creative. And so it's like, if you're going to put together an architect,
yeah,
bring those two people together and you'll make an architect.
Yeah.
Really interesting. And then focusing on technology and software at first in school, and then having the opportunity to have an architecture program start while you're there, and sort of it all sort of comes together, and it totally makes sense. So you start architecture education there. And how did you go from architecture school in Iran to California?
Yeah, so when I came to the US, actually, I applied to many universities, but since I didn't have a formal degree from Iran, I didn't know if any of these universities are going to accept my informal bachelor degree or not. So I applied to 12 universities all over the US. And then I had to go in person to each of them and explain my story. You know, I'm Baha'i, in Iran, I couldn't go to university. And many of them would tell me that, you know, your school was not regionally accepted in your own country. How do you expect us to accept your university? So I had to, so it was a really long journey. Like it took me like a year to convince all these universities one by one. And then Berkeley, UC Berkeley was one of the schools that accepted my degree and they offered me admission, which was great. I was the first BIHG student, you know, at Berkeley. And after I got accepted, they wrote an article on the Chronicle for Higher Education and said that from now on, BIHG degree will be accepted at UC Berkeley. So the degree is now a recognized degree, an accredited degree.
Yes.
At all the UC schools, because UC Berkeley accepted, so all the other UC schools. So I was really excited and thrilled that they accepted that. And I decided to move to Berkeley. I was in San Diego at the time. I decided to move to Berkeley and do my master there.
Is that where you're based now? Are you based there now?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, I'm here.
So the heart of the technology in the world, and so totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And so you practiced in the Bay Area and then got involved with the AIA in San Francisco, started the design technology or active on the design technology committee, and continued to grow your passion for architecture and technology with that. Before we get into the platform, I want to just go back to your work with Baha'i students in Iran. How did that happen, and what's involved in doing that?
Yeah, so, you know, since I've had this experience of being, you know, banned from education, that frustration of not having access to, we can't even like in Iran go to a public library because we don't have a student ID, we don't exist as a student. So since I have that, I've experienced that frustration, you know, when you leave a certain problem, then you really want to help as soon as you can. So as soon as I was done with my education at Berkeley, I wanted to give back and help and started to teach, you know, sometimes as a TA, sometimes now I'm teaching as an instructor, as a professor. So I have my own course. I have the TAs who help me. And sometimes I help like developing some curriculum for the school. You know, it's a great cause for me. I feel like all of us should have, besides like our professional career, we should have like a side noble cause that you're passionate about. So that BIHG is really that's cause for me that I'm so passionate about helping. And unfortunately, you know, Baha'i students is still after like more than 40 years now, cannot go to university. Mm. So Baha'is are the biggest religious minority in Iran. There are like hundreds. There are like so many of them that every year are eligible to apply for different majors, but they are banned. So I just want to help in any way I can. So now I'm helping architecture students.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Thanks. That makes me so happy.
It's important, right? It's one of the things I say here at the podcast all the time is love, learn, share. Those are the three lessons I want to share with the world, is to love one another, share, learn everything you can, and share all your knowledge with everyone you know. And so that's a perfect example of that, of all three of those, love, learn, share. And so I appreciate you for doing that.
Thanks. Thank you. And, you know, I'd say that's one of the reasons that I started AC Plus Tech, because you know, AC Plus Tech is a platform about sharing knowledge about technology. And I have this belief that everyone should have access to the latest knowledge, including, you know, new technologies in any field they work in, regardless of whether they come from a technical background or not. So, you know, being a BIHG student, undergrad students in Iran, I didn't have access to many educational resources. And now I experienced that like being a sense of being banned, being like restricted. So now I find it very important and noble to help share knowledge, like you're saying, and help others improve their work, like through AC Plus Tech and their life in general. You know, and the goal is that we democratize access to the latest products, and we also make it very simple and as easy as possible for people to understand what technologies are out there. So I'd say like part of the reason I started the platform is coming from my past.
Yeah, for sure. So explain what AEC Plus Tech is. What would people find when they go there?
Sure. So with the AEC Plus Tech platform, we are basically providing a centralized online resource, a database, a repository for the users to keep up with the latest AEC, you know, architecture, engineering, construction tools and technologies, and discover the real world applications of these tools through case studies, through like past case studies that have been done using these products. So we basically help AC companies find the right tool and technology for their practice based on the size of their firm, you know, the type of their projects. And we also help tech companies find the right customer for their innovative solution and software. And so our goal is becoming like a one-stop shop for finding the best solutions and products. And we want to be a thought leader. We don't want to like advertise a particular product or particular solution. We are not biased towards anything. It's just really we find it very important to engage, you know, mainstream design and construction companies, not just the large ones who have some, you know, large architecture and AC firms, they have the resources to find these technologies, but the rest are falling behind. So So we think it's important that we familiarize them, we introduce to them these like new disruptive technologies that can help them make their workflow more efficient, you know, save time and money, and can really help their process.
So now the name makes perfect sense, AEC plus technology. You're basically taking the technology and the architecture, engineering, construction industries and creating a platform where these two things can come together to be mutually beneficial. What a great idea.
Exactly. Thank you.
So I know that there's written content there, and I think the way that you and I connected was through some interviews that you were doing, some webinars. And so is that something that you typically do? Do you do that on a regular basis, to create content like that?
Yes. Yeah. We have monthly AEC tech talks, and we invite companies, you know, AEC firms, we invite investors as well as technology firms to have a discussion. You know, we have panel discussion, and we want them to share with us their success stories, how they think these new tools and solutions are helpful for their process. Sometimes companies come and talk about their in-house tools, and, you know, some like open source, some are just like in-house software. Sometimes investors talk about what they found very interesting, you know, in different categories. Like it could be, I don't know, 3D printing, prefab, digital twin, AR, VR. So we talk about everything, and we also invite, you know, our community to get engaged and ask questions from the speakers. So yeah, we do it on a monthly basis.
When you and I first met, you were talking to investors, and that was something that I could not find information in the AEC world about investors and VCs. And so we've recently had some VCs and investors on the show, and they came either directly or indirectly from our contact at that original time, months and months ago. And so I wanted to just thank you for making those introductions and those connections.
Sure,
of course. It's not only benefited me to help me learn about those subjects, but I've brought them onto the podcast, and we've been able to share some of that information with our community as well. And so I appreciate you being that connector for me.
Of course, my pleasure, absolutely.
Well, let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. There's a lot to love about being an entrepreneur architect, right? But trying to figure out our financials on our own is not one of those things. Luckily, we have FreshBooks, the all-in-one accounting solution that's built for business owners like us. FreshBooks takes all the not-so-fun parts of running a business, from building and tracking invoices, to managing online payments, to organizing expenses, and automates them with features like the digital bills and receipt scanner, saving you up to 11 hours a week in the process. It's also super easy to get up and running, and the award-winning FreshBooks support team, they are always available to answer any questions along the way. Compare that to some of the other financial management tools out there. Try FreshBooks for free for 30 days, no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/architect to get started today. That's freshbooks.com/architect. So what will you do with 11 more hours each week? This episode is brought to you by RCAT.com. We all have that one story, that one project that had such a unique situation that it required a solution that you had rarely considered before. We share these stories in private professional circles with our friends and our colleagues, but there has never been a collection of these stories of conflict and triumph all in one place until now. Detailed is a podcast series that features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who share their insights and expertise as they highlight some of the most complex, interesting, and oddball building conditions that they have ever encountered, and the ingenuity it took to solve them. Join host Charisse Lakeside, aka CSI Kraken, a senior specifications writer at RDH Building Science, as she uncovers lessons learned to help you navigate similar challenges that may arise in your next project. Detailed, an original podcast by RCAT. Listen and subscribe right now at rcat.com/podcast. That's rcat.com/podcast, ARCAT.com/podcast. Detailed, every building has a story. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Is there a specific technology that you're super excited about right now? Something that you may have discovered or talked to somebody about that you're like, oh, that is going to be disruptive. That's something that's really going to change the way we're designing and developing architecture.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I get excited about all this, like every single, now we have about 120 of these tools that are registered on our website. And I get so excited and passionate about every single one of them. So, you know, some are solving a small problem, some are solving a big problem. But I like it that most of them seem to be tackling a real world problem. And I talk to these founders all the time, and I feel like the successful ones and the successful solutions are the ones that are made and created by founders who have lived those problems. And they're very passionate about solving it. They have like hands-on experience, you know, in design and construction space. And at some point in their career, they got so frustrated by an existing problem and wanted to, you know, solve it. So some examples, I personally get excited, you know, like I said, about everything, but some examples are like 3D printing, you know, the use of 3D digital fabrication and 3D printing in mainstreaming the construction of homes. We actually had a talk a couple of months ago that we had three companies. They were talking to us about how they are building houses, just like regular houses. They're not like fancy, very expensive ones, but they are regular for anyone to purchase. And I just loved it how the quality of 3D printing has improved over the past, you know, couple of years. There are still some many issues that have to be resolved, like, you know, heat loss, material selection. There are so many things, but the progress to me is pretty impressive. Also, the development in the prefab and modular construction is very intriguing to me.
Is there anything specific with modular or prefab that recently has, because that's sort of been this slow evolution of that technology, you know, that's been around for decades, but obviously now it's sort of hitting a peak. Is there anything specific that sort of that you've seen in that part of technology that's interesting to you?
Yeah, you know, I've seen a couple of companies that have registered their pages, you know, they've created a profile for their companies on AC Plus Tech. And one of them is, for example, it's called Intelligent City. They are in Canada. And I love what they are doing. It has started from Canada and they are building like houses, but they not only have a system for their buildings and the prefab, you know, modular system, but they are also developing some online platforms for all the stakeholders of the project to collaborate real time. Like if you are an investor in the project, if you're an owner, like architect, everyone can collaborate on their platform at the same time. And the platform is run by the company. And I think it's pretty smart and pretty intelligent. And it saves a lot of time and, you know, for crash detection, for coordination, for everything.
Yeah.
So,
Super
yes.
interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I was also going to mention the fact that we are living in the world where, you know, cloud flexibility, distributed team, you know, remote work
Right.
are becoming standard in so many other areas. And in the also in the AEC world, we see that architects and designers and builders have more of an open mind now and an appetite for doing things differently. You know, they want to be able to, when you're working remotely as an architect, you want to be able to collaborate with your colleagues differently. So now there are tools like, I'm sure you've heard of like Arkio, for example. They're also an AEC Plus tech. Some AR, VR tools that you can work with your colleagues at real time, again, design like a space or project. And these tools are becoming more and more affordable and accessible to everyone. Again, not just like large resourceful firms, but to even like a maybe two people, three people residential firm can access or can at least try and test, you know, using these tools and see how it can help their workflow.
Yeah. So when a company signs on to AEC Plus Tech, they sign on and create a profile. So they sort of share all their information. And so there's a library of technology companies there. Is that how that works?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they sign up and then they create their page and then they can add case studies. They can add their key facts like the pricing and the project, their project specialty, the kind of project they work on. So they add all this information and they add the case studies, and then we organize the information for them in a way that is searchable. So we categorize all these tools, and then we have some features like compare, like similar tools. So users can compare these tools to one another, or they can find this like similar companies that are doing the same thing, and they can also save and share, you know, these solutions. But as far as the companies signing up, yeah, they sign up and they add their page, their company
yeah.
page.
What a great resource you're building there.
Thank you.
Being in the heart of it all, right? You're living in that world of architecture and engineering, construction and technology. And you've practiced in architecture, so you know what it's like today and where we are at this moment, you know, especially with post-pandemic world that we're living in, and the technology that has accelerated in the past few years. Can you sort of put yourself not even that too far in the future, maybe even just 5 years from now? Do you see the architecture profession and the industry of architecture and engineering and construction evolving and being different? How do you look at the future? What are your thoughts about where we're headed?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to change. Like the hardware and the software that we are using, really, architects and engineers, our contractors are using today, are going to change a lot in like 5-10 years from now. And then I think the technology, so it's growing. AEC technology is growing really fast, and I think it's going to keep growing and it's going to keep affecting our workflow and the way we work. And it's important to, I think, no, at least it's my belief that it's not going to be about one particular technology. So it's not going to be all about like 3D printing or some particular one, but it's about all these technologies working together more effectively, you know, and easier. So now we have like all these different phases of design and goes to construction, and it's pretty like disconnected. Things don't work with one another. Software we use don't work with one another. So I think the future is that all these tools are going to work better together, and, you know, the interoperability aspect of these tools. So that's how I never see our AEC Plus Tech community members as competitors, because I feel like this industry is so vast, so huge, and there's room for all of them. And it's really important that all of them are in conversation with one another so they can together revolutionize the industry. So it's not just like one particular tool, but all of them together, working together.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. 100%. I do another podcast. I co-host another podcast called Build Smart. It's actually Patrick McLamey's podcast, and I'm his co-host. He's the former CEO of HOK. He's also the international chairman of Building Smart. And Building Smart is an international organization who's dedicated to interoperability. They are the ones that created IFC, the format that so many technologies use to have that interoperability. We just finished recording season two, and it's all about Building International and its story, Building Smart International, and the story of how Building Smart International was created, but also the technologies of what's happening today and all of that interoperability that you're talking about that is going to define our future. It hasn't launched yet, but look for it because it's going to be a really fascinating story in season two of Build Smart.
Sure, that's wonderful.
But it's so much in alignment with what you just said about the future. It's exactly what Patrick says as well about the future. And so I'm really excited about the future because he also sees the future in collaboration and not competition. It is how we're going to get to where we're going in the future by bringing all of our knowledge and all our technologies together and making them work. Bring that interoperability together so everyone benefits from it. It's very exciting to be living in this moment being involved in architecture and being able to have these conversations like you and I are having right now.
Definitely. And, I think it's one of the things that we really learn from technology to scale ideas, and to scale knowledge. Because unlike the building industry, unlike the AEC industry, that is all about competition and secrecy. And it's, there are only a few buildings, if you think about it, there's a building and then only a few companies get to design and construct it. So it's an inherent part of what we do. But so that's why we lack that openness in our practice. So most of our work is just like it's one set of, drawings on a server somewhere, a bunch of code that we never reuse. And finally, like a luxury product in the form of a building. What we, like you're saying, it's really important to think about technology and kind of learn from it.
Right.
So we're at 3,000, how old are we? Like 3,000 old, industry. So we have a lot to teach the world of technology, but we also have to be open to learn, from it. This concept of open source, for example.
Yeah.
It's been around forever in the tech world, but it's very new in our space, in our industry. So it means openness of our practice. So it's important think about it.
I agree. It is important. And I also agree that it is the future. I think that's where we're going. I think this generation and future generations are not only going to expect that to be the case, because that's the way kids are being raised today with this sharing of knowledge and interacting with one another in real time. They'll demand it. They will just see it as the way it should be. I think people like you and I and the people who are here today working in this profession are the transition, right? We are the moment in time in this profession that it went from the way it was to the way it will be. And so it's exciting to be part of this this community right now.
Yep, definitely. For sure.
Nick Naz, what would you say? You're talking to thousands of small firm architects right now who are listening, primarily small firms. There's lots of architects and engineers and construction people, but primarily we're a community of small firm architects. What would you say to them is what can they do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mark. I think it's really important for small firms to have a network of other small firms that they are constantly talking to. So it could be they are more than welcome to join our AEC Plus Tech community. We have an active Slack channel, social media, events, and all that. But even if they have other communities, it could be like in the Bay Area here in San Francisco, there is an AIA small firm committee. And I think it's about hundreds of small firms in the Bay Area. I talked to them recently, and some of them were telling me how that inspired me to think more about this concept of the community and network. So they were telling me how their network has been the most important resource for them, for their business, as well as their keeping their workflow and their tech stack updated. So if they have any question, like, I don't know, transitioning from CAD to Revit, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? ArchiCAD versus Revit, because I talked to them about their tech stack and technology. So these were the questions that we were talking about. So they were telling me how their network has been like this group of other companies that they talk to on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, has been the most important and valuable resource for them. So I think it's very important for every small firm to have that, those connections and those, you know, friends and colleagues around to talk to about the business and everything. And my second advice is keeping their tech stack updated. So don't be scared of, so what I hear all the time is that these new tools and technologies are very expensive, and cost is always the most important factor for especially small and medium-sized firms. They can't really afford, you know, this, like some of these like fancy technologies. It's for like larger firms, like for Zaha Hadid, but it's not true. There are really useful and beneficial solutions that are there for small firms to use, like rendering and visualization, 3D modeling, collaboration, like you name it. There are now, there's a growing number of these tools and technologies that are made for small firms to use. And it's worth it that they can even just test, just give it a try, you know, just test it and see if they like it or not. They can have sometimes like their summer intern, like does some of their renderings in another tool. Like let's try, I don't know, Inkscape, Luminance, like Hologram, something new, and see how they like it. So it's important in this time of change, as we were, you know, talking earlier, this we are transitioning. So in this time of change, it's important that they keep their tech stack updated.
Excellent advice. Her name is Niknaz Aftahi. The website, you can learn all about all of this stuff, right, at aecplustech.com, all spelled out, aecplustech, all spelled out, one word, .com. Go check it out. You can learn all about the different technologies that are happening. If you're a tech company, you should go check it out. If you're an architect or an engineer or a construction pro, you should check it out. Go check it out at aecplustech.com. Niknaz Aftahi. Thank you.
Thank I appreciate you. Thank you.
I appreciate you for joining me today. I appreciate you for building this platform. I think it's an important platform. It like we were talking about, this moment in time where technology and architecture are growing and evolving simultaneously, and it will transform our profession. It will transform our world, and building a platform like yours is critical, right? That information is important for our profession to learn what they need to learn in order to design and build the future. So I appreciate you for building AEC Plus Tech, and I appreciate you for coming on the show with me here at Entree Architect Podcast.
Of course. Thank you so much, Mark, for having me. I'm a big fan. I've been following you and following your work and your great podcast, and it's been really an honor to be here, and I absolutely enjoyed the conversation.
I agree. A pleasure meeting you, and a pleasure speaking with you today. I've been really excited about the work that you're doing over there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a rating, write a review, go write a review. I would love to know what you think of this podcast, and it helps other architects find us. So go do 5-star rating if you like it. Share, write a review, I'd love it, and share a link to this episode with a friend, because that's how we've grown. That's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands of architects throughout the world just like you. Thank you to our sponsors, RCAT and FreshBooks, for their support of this episode. I ask you to support them because they support us, and if they're supporting us, they're supporting you, so go support them. Got it? Go support our sponsors. Links to our sponsors, so you can click on those links and go right to them. Links to our sponsors and all the resources we shared today are available at the show notes for this episode at entrearchitect.com/podcast. All the shows are there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows. I think there are 11 of them there now. Go there, gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. And I hope you're going to join us in Austin November 1st through November 3rd, 2022. Those are the dates for the Entree Architect Community Annual Meeting, our first ever live and in-person conference for you, the small firm architect community. Visit entrearchitect.com/annual meeting right now to learn more. That's entrearchitect.com/annual meeting, and I will see you in Austin in November. Don't miss this. This is going to be great. entrearchitect.com/annual meeting. It's a conference for you, small firm architects. Thank you for listening today to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. Love, learn, and share what you know.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick. So when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short haul, frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.